In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You are listening to your daily investigative news magazine, Flashpoints. Obviously, the talk of the global town these days is the death of the pontiff, Pope John Paul II. The airwaves are crowded with adulation for his open-mindedness and his easy accessibility to everyday people. While this is the illusion, the impact of this pope on poor people, on women, on revolutionary movements is, to say the least, not a positive one. Joining us for a more sobering assessment of the impact of the longest reigning pope in the last 100 years is Michael Parenti. Michael Parenti is a noted author, historian, whose book, The Assassination of Julius Caesar, A People's History of Ancient Rome, was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. Michael, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Oh, it's good to have you back. I'm doing okay. I hope you're all right. Well, everybody loves the pope these days. Why don't you give us an assessment of the impact this guy
had? I want to give you the real dope on the pope. It's, I think what's always left unmentioned is what was achieved in his 26 years was a soft coup within the church hierarchy itself, which in effect undermined Vatican II. Vatican II really opened up this huge global institution, the Roman Catholic Church, to all sorts of social consciousness ideas. I mean, not unlike the social gospel movement in Protestantism in the early part of the last century in the United States, which said that Jesus was not just something involving in personal piety, but you had to find Christ out among the slums and the poor, and you had to, and to realize the Word of God means to realize a society that is socially just and one that is for the benefit of all the people, to end exploitation and all that sort of thing. Now, that Vatican II message really, really sent shockwaves across. They got a pope in, and a friend of mine once said that when John Paul II was made pope, they said, well, the Brzezinski wing of the Vatican I, which was the CIA wing, in effect, or the U.S. State Department wing. And in his 26 years, he has stacked the ranks of cardinals and bishops with political conservatives all the way through. He has taken, he destroyed liberation theology in Latin America. He appointed large numbers of right-wing bishops to impoverished urban dioceses. He transferred liberal ones to remote, sparsely populated rural areas. He suppressed liberation theology curricula in seminaries and imposed Vatican manuals, Vatican approved manuals. He silenced three or four of the most prominent liberation theology theorists. He forbade liberal and radical clergy from holding public office. They had to leave public office. This didn't hold, by the way, for right-wing clergy. He told them, you're to administer to souls and you must engage in political struggles. Meanwhile, this pope was the most political, up to his ears, in political struggle himself. He's probably the most political of all popes. He actively supported the political involvements of his more conservative clergy and laity, the ones who operated in a quasi-fascist organization known as Opus Dei. He himself had close links with everybody in Opus Dei. He came out in defense of Nazi war criminals. One Nazi war criminal, Major Radich or Radoff, I forget his name, a German who had murdered something like 120 Italians during World War II. He came out and was one of those people who urged that Radoff be given probation and be, freed from prison. So he's continually intervened in world affairs.
Well, Michael, let me just jump in. It's widely reported one of the good things he did was to go to Israel and apologize for support of the Nazis. So this seems to contradict that.
He never really broached the subject of the Catholic Church's two centuries of anti-Semitism. He talked about the failure to have been so to speak out against the Holocaust. He did do that rather belatedly, but he never talked about the history of ghettoization and pogroms and such, which were perpetrated by the higher clergy. I talk about that in my book, History as Mystery, by the way. I have a section on that. So the apology was a nice set of words, but he's never gone to the poor of Latin America and apologized for supporting those forces which brought them death squads and poverty and the destruction of any kind of social reform movements which they've striven for. It's like his periodic denunciation of the rich getting too greedy. He will scold them. He'll issue a thing about we must not be so greedy. And he denounces greed and materialism. But sometimes what you have there is a hidden criticism of egalitarian material betterment. Tells everybody, don't be so concerned about material things. Here's a guy who lives in palatial splendor and utter luxury with armies of servants telling other people not to be so concerned with materialism and such.
He did go to Nicaragua, didn't he, and directly take on the Sandinistas.
Yes, he told every... The Sandinista movement, for people who may not remember, had a lot of Catholic clergy actively involved in the revolutionary ferment and struggle of that time. And the Pope went there and actually ordered them to either leave the clergy or leave the revolutionary movement. And a lot of them were really torn because they were dedicated and devoted Catholics, and the clergy had been their life and their careers and such. So he systematically, again and again, purged the Roman Catholic ranks of people who did not agree with his right-wing view. He also credited for having helped to overthrow communism in Poland. And by the way, this is the Pope who said, stay out of politics. But we know that he entered into a clandestine alliance with President Reagan, and both of them plotting to overthrow communism. So it wasn't while he told the socially conscious people, you can denounce some things in general, but you can't get involved with it, and you can't get too specific. He himself was quite specific. He overthrew the Polish regime, the Polish communist regime in Poland. And we now have in Poland, a country that is a free market country where there's no guaranteed health plans anymore. There's no guaranteed right to education or housing or a job or economic security or old age pension or anything. All these things have been wiped away. And this is considered by some people on the left as a great advance, for democracy. In Poland, I don't see it that way myself. I always thought there were some things in these communist countries that were worth keeping and fighting for. Certainly, there were countries with tremendous problems and crimes and repressive factors, like every country has repressive and some, and maybe more than a lot of other countries. But they also had some very good social programs, and those are the things that are targeted by the West to keep the people of the world away from aspiring for any kind of collective self-betterment and service, to privatize everything, and that's what you got in Poland today. Everything's privatized, everything's deregulated, everybody's poor, unemployment is up in 20%, people are doing without social services. Most people say that it was better under the communists. So this is the Pope's major achievement, and somehow it doesn't sweep me off my feet. The guy was a hypocrite and a manipulator. As I say again and again, the kinds of clergy he appointed, the College of Cardinals has 117 members, almost all of whom have been appointed by him. Some of the old holdovers, and there are other cardinals who are ex officio who don't get a vote, and so the likelihood, I say it's a Vatican, it's a coup, the likelihood that we're ever going to get another John the 23rd, or even John Paul the 1st, who was looking into some of the malfeasance involving the Vatican Bank and mysteriously died, a perfectly healthy man.
Well, you know, Michael, that is actually the question that I haven't asked, and I'd love to get you in here. We're out of time now, but I'd love to get you in here and talk more about that stuff in some depth.
Okay, there's a book by, David Yarrow.
David Yarrow. Also, Marty Lee did some good work on this. I'm going to have to leave it right there because we're smack against the clock. We've been speaking with our good friend Michael Parenti. History is Mystery for something about this, The Assassination of Julius Caesar, for an incredible book. Thank you, Michael.